This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this final Wednesday of January. Looking like the final Wednesday of April, maybe. And we're glad to have you along with us as we've got 1 week until National Letter of Intent Signing Day. And ESPN recruiting analyst Craig Hobbert will join us on today's program. We're also scheduled to talk to Bill Gavers, Hastings College men's basketball coach, as they play at Dort on Saturday looking for their third straight win. And our Loper Link will be with UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer. And that's all coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today, plus our Cunningham's Comedy Clip, a chance for you to win tickets to tomorrow night's comedy show going on at Cunningham's. So that's all coming up within the next hour. Set.
Hey, and then, you know, just getting ready for a little Super Bowl action here, too. You know, I mean, we can talk.
Start.
Yeah, it's coming up. My rumor has it. And I have to admit, and feel free to say whatever you want to, but this is the Super Bowl I'm looking forward to absolutely the least. I mean, there isn't a team. I don't like either team. I don't have a strong hatred for either team, so I don't have anybody to either root for or root against. And I am as least interested in this Super Bowl as I think I've ever been of all the other 50 Super Bowls. Literally. I don't really like either team. I don't really fully hate either team, so I don't have anybody really to root for or against.
It's an interesting topic.
It's just kind of weird. Because there's
the
usually
the crappiest Super Bowl ever.
Well,
not necessarily the way it ended, but kind of like you're saying, the one that you went, well, it's the Super Bowl, so I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to hang out with my fill-in-the-blank friends, coworkers,
yeah,
family, myself.
Watch the commercials and, you know, eat nachos. Yeah, but I hate to say it. I'm not really looking forward to the Super Bowl. I'm not. And they're the two best teams. That's who should be there. But, I don't know. I'd been a lot more interested if
I'm going to hold my guns here. Dallas won in Seattle. They have the same record. They got screwed in the playoffs. I'm going to stay with Dallas. Now, I'm a Dallas homer. I get it.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that that's the same situation maybe for somebody else out there. I don't think Green Bay was the best team, and not because they are the ones that beat Dallas. I just don't, these teams have put it together at the end.
Yeah.
Where did New England's defense come from? They were getting shredded early in the season.
Oh, yeah, and they look great against
and
the Colts.
Seattle's offense still isn't that great.
No, it really isn't. I mean, you manage the game. Their quarterback manages the game. And I like Russell Wilson. As a human, as a person, as a leader, I mean, I like him. But I'm so tired of this narrative that he's the best quarterback of all time. I'm sorry. He's Trent Dofer. I mean, I'm sorry. He's a manager. You know, he's okay. He doesn't hurt you, and he makes good decisions, and he's a nice guy, and he's warm
Trent
and fuzzy.
Dofer. Give me something better. Give me Phil Simms.
Okay. Phil Simms is a better example. It really is. But, I mean, he's okay. He's okay. He's okay. He's a nice guy. He's okay. But he's being painted as the best coming, you know, since Andrew Luck. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not.
Wow.
I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback.
Who's the better coach? People don't like Pete Carroll, especially in this part of the country, and a lot of people don't like Pete Carroll because of the USC deal.
Right.
But both of those guys have failed in the past and now seem to have it all down, and I'm looking forward tomorrow on the show. We have got a two-part interview with Seattle Seahawks offensive line coach Pat Rhule, who has known Pete Carroll and worked with Pete Carroll on and off since the mid-1970s. They were part of the Arkansas staff in 77 under Lou Holtz. They were at USC together at a very variety of other stops. Looking forward to that talk tomorrow. But I think whoever wins, if Belichick wins, he's going to out-coach the ding-dong. That's the feeling I get out there, and I don't think that's fair to Pete Carroll. But I do think somehow, I guess I buy into Belichick does it time and time and time again. But they got out-schemed when they were an undefeated football team and only scored 10 points in the Super Bowl.
You know what? In turn, you look at who's the better coach. I think the better question is who's the better general managers. And we don't see the general managers, but that roster for Seattle is tremendous compared to, well, just about anybody else, but especially the Patriots. The Patriots have an outstanding one as well, but Seattle's is just that much better. We don't give enough credit to the general managers because they're the players, they're the athletes. And we kind of give credit to the coaches because, well, they've got Richard Sherman and they got Marshawn Lynch. No, the general manager got those guys. Yes, the quarterback, the coaches have some input in there, but the GMs are the ones that really pull the trigger on the draft choices and stuff. And that's the aspect, I think, where both of these two organizations are extremely strong, and that is with their general managers and who they've drafted, who they've signed, who they have on their roster.
888-455-ESPN. That's the number to call the show to get in on our contest line. 888-455-3776, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can, of course, tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Give us your thoughts on the Super Bowl and maybe weigh in. Which Super Bowl did you go?
I'll watch, but I don't really want to.
Not so fired up.
You make that sound a lot. You make that sound maybe a little bit too well. You know what I mean?
I was
a little bit too much practice there.
I was Pat.
Yeah.
We'll have to use that as a comedy clip some week.
Sure, why not?
There you go.
Androgyny humor. You got to like that.
We'll step away from the Super Bowl for a second because we want you to weigh in as well. I think you're wrong about the Brady thing. I don't know. You win 4 Super Bowls, you got to be in the top 10. But we'll see.
No, I was talking about Russell Wilson. I'm not bashing Brady. Brady's top 10 quarterback playing right now.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
Probably top 10 of all time.
I agree. I must have misheard what...
No, and maybe bashing isn't the right word. I just don't think Russell Wilson is a top 10 quarterback, is what I'm saying.
Will you go and will you pay attention to a Nebraska home game and run in the NIT?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're my favorite Division I basketball team. Yeah, I would watch them. I would pay attention. Is it the same level of excitement as the NCAA? No, it isn't. I mean, thankfully, the NIT, all the games are at night when I'm off work. But I would play hooky to watch Nebraska play basketball during the NCAA if they had the 11 o'clock in the morning tip-off. I'm not setting my weekend around watching Nebraska in the NIT. You know, even if it's a Saturday, if they play it on a Saturday, if I've got a better offer, I'll do that. But if they were the NCAA tournament, that would be the day would be centered around that event. You know what I'm saying? So, no, it's not the same.
44 points last night at Michigan, a team that's struggling a little bit. If you were going to get one on the road, this might have been one. Yeah. Northwestern, Penn State. Interesting, as Dan Hoppen brought up yesterday on the program, that a majority of Nebraska's games are on the road. The rest of the way out here, they've had their home schedule. And they're 12-8. I'm telling you right now, you beat Incarnate Word, you beat Creighton, you're 14-6. You can still tread water and you're okay.
Yeah.
Nebraska doesn't deserve to be there right now. Nebraska women, I saw on Bracketology after the game with Iowa, they're sitting on a 5 line. right now going into the NCAA tournament. I think we can live with that.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, that makes you a favorite in the first round game, and certainly would have a legitimate shot at the second round game. And now you're looking at the Sweet 16.
Time for our Loper Link on the Doug and Daddy Show, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. We welcome in the UNK wrestling coach who has coached so many duels that he's won 200 of them, Mark Bauer. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. What are you doing sloughing off?
You know, I'm not. I'm actually fundraising this morning, so.
Oh.
Alms for the poor, alms for the poor.
Exactly. No, just having a good old time. I'm going through database right now, so it's not a whole lot of fun, but it's got to be done. So.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about the fun stuff then, and that's the stuff on the mat. Last time we talked to you was at the beginning of the month, and you were getting ready to go to Virginia Duels, and you've done a lot of work between now and then, but I want to go back there. You had that Division I experience. And maybe it didn't go as well this year as it did last year. Your thoughts looking back at it?
You know, great experience regardless. You know, we were matched up against all Division I teams, and they came out, and they were guns a-blazing. They were coming after us. So it was good for us, though, just because it just tells us, it just shows us some things that we need to continue to work on and continue to grow from. And the guys did not handle it real well. We obviously had a couple meetings with everybody, and it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, guys, we know where we're at. We know where we're heading. Now let's get there. So, yeah, you're right. We've had a lot of work between then and now, and things are coming together like we were hoping them to.
Obviously, with the team aspect, that didn't go as well as you wanted it to. Was there a few individual wrestlers that really got some valuable lessons from that experience earlier this month?
Yeah, I think so. You know, honestly, I would the opposite of that. I have a couple guys that I don't think got much value out of it. You know, other than that, I think most of them got some value out of it. You know, Devin Aguirre, our 165-pounder, we were very well pleased with his performance. It was just overall effort that we were looking for. And, you know, some of the guys just didn't bring that effort out to the mat like we were hoping they would. I felt like, you know, again, we've got a 6-day moratorium. We have a little more time off than Division I's, and I felt like, you know, that kind of showed up in some of the matches, because there were several matches that we were in early, and as the time went on and things got a little bit tougher, you know, we could see our guys starting to fade a little bit. So it was tough, you know, but a great opportunity for them to, you know, to have to dig deep. You know, when you're not as good a condition as somebody else and things aren't going quite right, you got to kind of, you know, muscle up a little bit. You got to dig deep to get through some of those times. So I think that adversity was good for the guys, though.
Talk with Loper wrestling coach Mark Bauer here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mark, the next week you come back, you host your Midwest duels. A lot of excitement around the high school matches. People not going to be as familiar with some of the college teams. 3-2, 1 point away from going 4-1. Talk about just the transition from the week in Virginia to what you did in Kearney.
Yeah, you know, coming back off a break, you know, we were kind of getting guys back in the lineup again. You know, it was Romero's first time wrestling, competing for us. And, you know, we've just kind of had some ups and downs a little bit, which, you know, obviously, you know, we talked to the guys about the fact that we're not where we need to be right now, and we're working that direction. But we've had a couple of our guys, Chase White, Romero Cotton, in and out of the lineup because they've either injured an ankle or some ribs or something. And so they're just little nagging injuries that if we give them a little time off, they can kind of heal up a little bit better. And again, we're kind of looking at the long haul here. We're not looking for the immediacy of them having in the lineup, even though we'd love to have them there all the time. But it also gave some of our other kids some opportunity to step in and compete for us as well. But, you know, we've got three freshmen in the lineup this year. And again, you take a couple of your All-Americans out of the lineup, and it does start putting a little pressure on them. But again, it's great for the future of our program that those guys have that pressure now as young kids, because again, they'll start to learn to adjust to it and thrive in it. So, but it's, you know, we had one that got away from us, Western State. We were up big on them, and we, you know, I think we had three pins in the match, which gave us 18 points, and they ended up in their last four weight classes, I think, pinning three of our guys. So they kind of came from behind and got us. And then We had a tough one with Mesa State. You know, Mesa came out. They were rather conservative a little bit, but, you know, kept good position. And I think we were making a lot of mistakes, and they were capitalizing on it. And so, again, kind of a learning situation, a tough learning situation because it's going to hurt us a little bit with the seeding when it comes regional time. But at the same token, I'm hoping we're ready by then.
Well, as you mentioned, 1 month till regionals, about 3 weeks until you get into the MIAA championships. And having done this chat with you numerous times over the years, I can sense that there's some work to be done here, maybe more than in the past handful of seasons, if you want to accomplish the goals that UNK is used to attaining.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to compare, obviously, Doug, from 1 year to the next. We've got our challenges, and every year has different challenges. You know, one year, I remember the first year we won Nationals, 2008, things really didn't come together until right before Regionals. So we've had some instances where it's like, man, you just hope things come together. And I will tell you right now, we had Chase White, Romero in the room this last week or beginning of this week, and they're going hard. And so it's coming together. You know, it's a matter of these guys performing, believing that they can go out and compete with all these guys. Our extra training actually begins this next week, which I know is going to kind of give them an edge, not just physically but mentally as well, because these guys, by the end of the season, we'll have them where we need them to be. We just need to keep them healthy between now and then. But it's coming together. I see things coming together. The guys are wrestling and competing with way more intensity. With that being said, we've got a tough one this weekend, Lindenwood. We go down to St. Charles on Friday and compete there, and it's going to be tough. They've got of a lineup of like 10 guys, they've got like 8 seniors in their lineup. And we knew they were going to be tough this year. They're without their heavyweight from last year, and that's about it. So this is going to be a tough challenge for us.
You kind of mentioned the pacing that you kind of have to do. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint until you get there. Where is that pace, and what are some benchmarks that us fans can kind of look at between now and regionals to kind of get a sense of whether or not you're keeping up with the pace you want to be on?
You know, that's a good question. Starting this next week, it literally is kind of a dead sprint here. You know, we're in the last leg of you know, if you're in it, you've got to do 8 laps around the track. This is like we're coming into the last lap here right now. I mean, it's kind of a dead sprint from here on out. And it really becomes, you know, the situation where we've been talking all year about making sure we're doing the things that are taking care of ourselves and those types of things. But it's magnified a little bit more now. There's no making big mistakes right now because those are the things that are going to cost us dearly. But as far as benchmarks and where we need to be, really, once we kind of start coming into conference, which is here in the next 3 weeks. Now, I know conference, you guys know that we only have 6 teams in the MIAA with wrestling. But that's kind of when we hope to see our guys start stepping it up and really start performing well. And then we hope that carries right into regionals, which we hope carries right into nationals. And really, that's kind of where we kind of start seeing things, whether or not it's going to come together for us. And as you guys well know, and we've talked about this before, it's about numbers at the end of the season. There's going to be some teams that get 8, 9, 10 guys to the national tournament. If we're not close, it's really difficult. Last year was kind of an exception. You know, I think Notre Dame had 9 guys at the national meet. We only took 6. But both us and them only ended up with 5 All-Americans, and that was 1-2. And so again, it's nice to have those numbers because you're going to have a couple kids that are going to win, you know, a couple matches on the backside that are going to be big for you. So that's kind of where we're looking at things. You know, it's that conference meet. About 3 weeks, we'll know where we're at.
And, Mark, for the general fan out there, before we let you go, there's all the hoopla around signing day for football. When do we find out when more Lopers will be joining your program?
That's not till the second Tuesday of April for us. So we got a little time. You know, we did actually pick up another verbal commitment out of a young man down in Kansas, one of the top Kansas kids, so we're excited about him. But second week of April is when we'll start signing a few more guys. But we signed about 5 kids early on in November, great kids, a couple Nebraska kids. So we're excited about the crew we have right now, and hopefully we'll add a few more to it.
Who you got in the Super Bowl?
You know what? I'm not a big Super Bowl fan, man, but I'll watch. I'll be rooting for somebody. I'm a Chief guy, man. I grew up in Manhattan, Kansas, and, you know, Chiefs, when did they win the Super Bowl? Well, before I was born, so it was a really long time ago.
They were matriculating down the line was what they were doing, matriculating down the field back then.
Something like that. So, and our house is a little split. My wife's a Broncos fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. So, but we have good time over it.
That's a mixed marriage right there.
It is. House divided.
Well, Mark, we'll let you get back to work. Always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck this weekend.
You bet. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care, Mark.
You too, Mark. Thanks.
He has kept the UNK program rolling along, and we are glad to have him here with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Currently, as of this moment, sitting third in the country in Division II at Lindenwood at Newman this weekend. They're coming off wins over the weekend against Fort Hays State and Midland University. Pete Trausch takes part in Saturday's College Gridiron Showcase in Arlington, Texas, kicking off at 1 o'clock. You can go to lopers.com to see the free live video webcast. It's on the game's webpage. You can find out more there. Trausch is on a team that has players from the likes of Auburn, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, and Washington. The UNK track team will be at Concordia. Some will be at Colorado School of Mines D2 Invitational this weekend. They had 24 top five finishes at the Prairie Wolf Indoor Invite Friday in Lincoln. Cole Wellnitz led the way, winning the 1,000-meter run and the mile. Also, just a variety of folks in there. Danny Coons over at Elm Creek, fourth in the weight throw. Dylan Schroth to third in the 60 hurdles. Kalen Farr out of Cambridge reached the finals and finished seventh in that same event. Just taking a look at Grand Island freshman Machal Chol. He was third in the 800 meters. And there you go. Just some local kids among those that did well on the track.
Yeah. Again, this time of year is so interesting because you got track, you've got basketball, we're talking wrestling, there's spring football right around the corner. I mean, just about every baseball is rolling up. What programs on campus aren't really doing something right now? And I don't think there's too many of those. Maybe tennis. I mean, and I'm sure they're playing indoors somewhere. So it's just amazing how many athletes are out there busy all the time in college athletics.
In basketball, the Loper men will try and keep their winning streak going against a couple of teams that might be competitive with them. Washburn is a 500 team that's 5-5 in the conference. Emporia State, 9-10, but just 2-8 in the conference. Those games are Thursday and Sunday. And for the women, Washburn, 13-5, and Emporia State, the number two team in the country at 16-1. The Loper women split their games. They fell to the fourth-ranked Pittsburgh State team and then beat South Dakota Mines over the weekend. And finally, Loper baseball begins this weekend with a three-game series in Denver at Metro State, slated for 1 o'clock go time Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Good luck to Coach Day and the troops.
The Lady Lopers actually battled the number four ranked team in the country very, very well. Gave up a great fight with them. And the men look good. I mean, playing flat out look good. They can put the ball in the hole, and they don't care who does the scoring, but they can get points from a lot of different sources. And they start two freshmen. The next two freshmen come off the bench. I mean, good times are coming up here for the UNK men, no question.
Also, one more honor for Cole Manhart, third-team All-American. He is now a first-team All-American by D2. It's his third All-American team, I should say. He is a first-team All-American by D2Football.com, the premier source for Division II football information. So congratulations again to Cole Manhart. I saw somewhere on one of the websites out there, they're giving the, I don't know if the dark horse was the term they used, in the NFL draft, they picked a player from each position and says, this is the guy under the radar, this is the dark horse. And I mean, there's USC, there's Texas, it's Division I, Division I. Cole Manhart.
Interesting.
Is on that website. So we'll see if other folks feel the same way. That is our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. We'll be back with Bill Gavers, the head coach of the Hastings College men. And we'll catch up with Craig Halbert, ESPN recruiting analyst, coming up after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies for today, a northwest wind 10 to 20. Highs will be in the upper 60s. Tonight, skies will be partly cloudy, a northwest wind at 15 to 25. Lows will be in the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Kind of a weird Wednesday, Randy Bushcutter. There is no Husker, Bronco, or Loper basketball tonight. Wednesday used to be a mainstay, and yeah, just the way it is tonight, there just doesn't happen to be any of those teams in action.
A statistical anomaly, or a scheduling anomaly. How's that? I just wanted to use the word anomaly.
You know what it is? It's a Wednesday like no other.
Okay, I'll go
with that. Wednesday like no other, just like our gang over at TNL, Hydrostatically Powered Pivot Irrigation Systems, worldwide headquarters in Hastings, making sure that farmers are ready for the 2015 irrigation season. Find out why so many growers are moving to TNL. TNL's superior reliability, simplicity of their hydraulic design, safety, low maintenance, and who doesn't love that? A few reasons that TNL should be in your field if it's not already. If you need another one, if you're updating, if you're growing, you know how good it is at TNL. If you're looking to make the switch, TNL is there for you. Visit your local TNL dealer or go online to TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, like no other. Well, the Hastings College men and women will be at Dort on Saturday afternoon. You can catch the action, as always, on 1230 AM KHAS. And we welcome in the head coach of the Bronco men, Bill Gavers, looking for their third straight win. Hey, Coach, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, it's beautiful out. It's not even basketball weather. Do you let the guys practice outside?
You know what? We probably should do that. The weather is unbelievable, but I have a feeling it's not going to stay that way.
Now, see, I think you and Coach Kropp kind of have that same philosophy. I know there's times where you're in the gym and the bleachers are back, and it doesn't matter where the lines are on the basketball court. The whole gym's in play. I can only imagine if you threw them outside with those same rules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the CMAT and all that good stuff, I'm sure the players would appreciate that.
Well, Coach, obviously, year two here with the Broncos, and let's just kind of start from the beginning. How did you feel getting prepared for year two was as compared to jumping in and all the other stuff that goes along with coaching basketball in year one?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you learn a lot in your first year of any new job situation, and it's been a little bit easier. You're more familiar with the league. You're familiar with the players coming back. You're familiar with the coaches. and then you're more familiar with your own guys, obviously. And you know, we've had a lot of new kids come in. We've got a real good freshman class that's come in, and then we've got some guys that are seniors and juniors that have been around. And so it's just been easier because you just know what to expect, and you know more of what to do because you have more knowledge.
Bill, I want to kind of ask that question. We've been talking a lot about recruiting here lately with the National Letter of Intent signing day coming up in a week. What sort of specific things are you doing different now this year when you're looking at recruiting versus what you've been doing in the past?
Well, you know, we just have to look at our needs, and obviously your needs change every year, what type of players you need, what position you need, and those sorts of things. And we've really tried to commit ourselves to, you know, getting high school players out of Nebraska, but also that's our core base of our recruiting. But we also got to look at getting transfers and getting guys that can come in and help you immediately. So it's really just a variety of things that you have to do, and you just have to be alert to players and respond to emails and videotapes and a lot of those things.
Bill Gavers joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's kick this elephant out of the room, Bill. You didn't like the month of December. It leaves a sour taste going into the holiday break, and January didn't go much better until you finally got this losing streak snapped. What was going on during this time period, and did something click here last week?
Well, you know, the elephant out of the room, you always got to talk about reality, and the reality is we lost 10 games in a row. We lost a lot of close games, and we got beat at Briarcliff at the buzzer by a point on a three-point shot. We lost to Concordia by three. We lost to Morningside by one after having a 14-point lead in the second half. We lost to Oklahoma Wesleyan after having a 12- or 13-point lead. It wasn't anything about our effort and our attitude. Our execution just needed to improve, and our guys have really worked hard. Even during that 10-game losing streak, our attitudes were good. Our guys kept coming to practice and working hard, and it's finally paid off in the last two games.
The defense here the last two games, and sometimes you can just say it's the opponent, but the last opponent was ranked 14th in the country in Briarcliff. Teams have been averaging almost 90 points against you in that 10-game stretch. The last two games, 60 and 66.
Yeah, that number 90 is not a good number, Doug.
No, not on the other side it's not.
No, it's not. And that's something that, you know, our guys just, you know, recommitted themselves to guarding. We did a great job at Concordia. They got a kid by the name of Robbie Thomas that's 6'7" and shoots the three well, puts it on the floor. And Drew Callahan, a kid out of North Platte, did a great job guarding him and slowing him down. And then inside, Zach Lena did a really good job on Chandler Folkert, who's having a good year, kid out of Milford, and Zach's from Millard North. So all of our guys have bought into, hey, we've got to guard better, and we've got to execute better on the offensive end, and we've done that in our last two games.
Bill, I know you always look at the individual stats and the team stats. Obviously, points for versus points against is the most important, but you always want to win the rebounding battle, which you are statistically over the course of the year. You also want to win the turnover battle. There you're struggling a little bit, actually kind of a negative 30 on the season. What are some things you guys kind of feel you need to do to kind of change those numbers around?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, that's hurt us in several ball games, the turnovers. The last two games, you know, we turned over 13 and 10, and those are manageable numbers, and they've led to big wins for us. It's just a lot about being fundamentally sound, being strong with the basketball, making good decisions, and we felt like the last two games we've done a great job of that, and we've got to continue to do that when we go to Dort. Dort's a team that plays real fast, and if you turn it over and you're careless with it, they're going to turn it into points. So our guys have just practiced really good habits, and they're working on getting better, and we're improving in that area.
Chat with Hastings men's basketball coach Bill Gavers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. They'll play at Dort on Saturday afternoon. Coach, you've played a lot of guys. Was that more out of necessity or because 10 guys deserve to be in that rotation for you?
Well, we've given a lot of guys a look. You know, there's some guys, for example, Jake Hansen, a freshman out of Omaha Groves, you know, has played a lot of JV this year and has just played well and practiced well, and he's came in the last couple games and really gave us a lift. And, you know, Damian Austin, a kid out of Kearney, played soccer, and so we didn't get him until, you know, December 15th or so, and he's played real well for us. And then our seniors, you know, have been really good players with good attitudes and have accepted things. And you know, guys like Alex Thayer, Brandon Krause has been hurt the last two or three games. Tobin Reinwald's been a good leader for us, Zach Lena. So, you know, we've had a mixture of old guys and young guys, and they've gotten a shot, and they've done well with that.
Coach, you kind of touched on this a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about Damian Austin. He's like third on the team in limited numbers, but third on the team overall in terms of assists, not scoring a lot of points just yet. How is his game coming along, and how is he making the adjustment to playing college ball? He's only 5'6", so I mean, he's not going to drive a lot necessarily, but talk a little bit about his growth, what he's been able to do.
Well, Damian makes really good decisions with the ball, and he pushes the ball up the floor For example, we played Briarcliff. You know, he had 8 assists, and several of those were in transition where he just pushes the ball and beats the other team up the floor and finds the open man. He's really adjusted to making decisions on what he can and can't do at the college level. Obviously, when you drive it, guys are bigger, they jump better, and they block shots. He guards really well. Damian, he guards. He guarded a kid by the name of Shane Graves from Briarcliff, who I think is the key to their team. Did not allow penetration from him, contained the ball well. Kid went 1-for-9 and really was a non-factor in the game. So we talked a lot to him about, you know, it doesn't show up in stats, but the value that he brings to the team is by defensive pressure and delivering the ball to people. And he is a fierce competitor. Damian is an incredibly competitive kid.
Last minute here with Bill Gavers, a couple more questions. Okay, I got to ask about my guy. And that's just south of the highway here. Carson Bloom hit his career high in this last couple of games, and he's contributing a little bit more. Where is his game elevating?
Your guy is a great guy. He's got high IQ, basketball IQ. He's incredibly competitive. He's a great leader. And he started to score the ball the last couple games. You know, he's really done well. We've done some ball screen stuff with him. He makes good decisions. He drives it hard. He's shooting a three-point shot well. And his leadership is really invaluable for us, the things that he does on and off the floor. And the other guy, you know, you talk about Carson, the other guy that's really had a great year for us and has just been on fire lately is Connor Musial from Lincoln North Star, shooting the heck out of the ball and really has a quick pace.
Bill, what about what's coming up here for you starting with Saturday? Give us a quick scouting report.
Well, we talk a lot about every game for us has become a playoff game, starting with, you know, 2 games ago to get into our conference tournament. We go to Dort on Saturday. Dort is 15-7 overall. Really drive the ball hard at the basket, try to get you in foul trouble. Got a kid by the name of Nathan Rindles that shoots a lot of free throws, and a good 6'10", big kid that's a good player. And then we got Doan College coming in Wednesday. And then we go to Mount Marty. So, you know, we got big games coming up. Every game's really a playoff game for us moving forward.
And have you got Ba whipped into shape yet? Does he know how to be an assistant?
Yeah, Chip is an outstanding assistant. He does a great job. Just a dynamic personality. Our guys are just real fortunate to be around him every day. He brings a ton of energy to practice.
Well, Bill, you know what? I know you keep an eye up north. Central Catholic knocking off SCOTUS last night in that Centennial Conference tournament.
Oh, that tournament is something else. You know, you talk about all the teams that are ranked and the quality of play. And so you got some great semifinals. I see Aquinas upset Bergen, and they'll play Bishop Newman, and then St. Cecilia plays Central Catholic. So that's just a phenomenal conference.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to work, and I'm sure you'll call and give Asher a little bit of a scouting report to help the Crusaders out.
Coach Asher does a great job over at St. You know, we had the luxury of going out to see Adams Central play Central Catholic the other night. Those two teams are very good teams. You know, we've been out to see Grand Island play. They've played well this year, so a lot of good basketball in the area. Great time of year for you guys. I know you're having fun with it. I know everybody appreciates all that you guys do.
Well, Coach, appreciate that. Let's keep the winning streak going, and we'll talk again.
All right, you guys take care, all right?
Take care.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill Gavers, head men's basketball coach at Hastings College. Catch all their action, men and women, on 1230 AM KHAS.
Well, he touched on a little bit. I mean, think about that conference. You had two top, like, three or four teams in the quarterfinals of a conference tournament. The quarterfinals. That is unbelievable. Huge win last night for GICC at SCOTUS.
And they'll play St. Cecilia Friday night on 1230 AM KHAS. The St. Cecilia girls game will be tomorrow night on that same network. This comes from John and Carney. He says, this gets back to your kind of point when we were talking Super Bowl. He says, Doug, you always say that to win, you need a good quarterback. Wilson is that. He does manage the game. He doesn't make his team lose by mistakes, but he wins by not winning the games by himself. Brady has had to take the team on his back. It's kind of a double-edged sword. You're only as good as your quarterback. Now with that, if Wilson wins another Super Bowl and is in a lot of conversations and playoffs and Manning only wins one Super Bowl, where do you place those quarterbacks on the best of all time? It's subjective, but I agree with you. A team is only as good as its quarterback. One thing really needs to be pointed out, and thanks, John, a lot of good points there.
I absolutely agree you don't shoot yourself in the foot, and Russell Wilson will not do that. Which makes
really?
He will not shoot himself in the... Well, he played very poorly against Green Bay. And, yeah, I guess he did. But he got away with it.
There's fact one.
Yeah, okay.
4 interceptions.
All right,
okay.
he got away
with
it.
Against a Green Bay defense that was torched most of the season. That's why Green Bay and New England, I'm surprised, got as far as they did because of the way they were playing most of the season defensively. Albeit, you get it fixed. Congratulations. So be it. This is where the Peyton Manning, Dan Marino debate comes in. With Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Who else am I missing? Well, Steve Young won it once, right?
Yeah.
Once?
Eli Manning would certainly be on that list because he was on some very good teams and won two Super Bowls.
How do you compare a guy that is the best of all time in Peyton Manning, Dan Marino? I mean, Brett Favre was only there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you compare the guys that have all the quarterback records to the guys that have the rings? Here's what I usually say, and I don't know, because general managers, it'd be nice if they talked with Bill Polian on ESPN or any of the guys that they've got on there once about this. Does the money, does the guys you have to get in, does that all change? Obviously, Seattle was able to probably bring in two or three guys because Russell Wilson isn't making anything until next year. Or does that matter? Because, as I've said, a lot of quarterbacks replace, take Joe Montana out, put quarterback so-and-so in, same success because of what you had around them. Problem is, I think Peyton Manning, for a lot of the time, has had a lot of good people around him, and maybe the defense is what has held him back. He's had so many weapons offensively.
Yeah, the one Super Bowl he won.
And they've used that money, and I don't know.
Well, it comes to a point that I never hear anybody make about Tom Brady and the success he had in the first half of his career. One of the major reasons that they had so much success was he was a fifth-round pick, which means the year he got drafted, there were four guys that helped his team out ahead of him, and then he comes up. So they got him as a steal.
He cried a little bit.
Well, it got him as a steal. And as a result, and the same thing's true of Russell Wilson, the Seahawks got better at two or three other positions the year he got drafted as quarterback. So they got better at three spots the year he got drafted, including quarterback. And I'm saying that about Tom Brady as well. They got better at quarterback when they were drafted. Absolutely no question about it. But they got better at other positions. That establishes a better roster, a better team. They're going to have more success. Does that make sense? Because, again, when you got Peyton Manning or even Dan Marino, who was one of the last picks of the draft, but he was still a first-rounder, they didn't get better at other positions the year that they had that draft necessarily compared to where it has – as they got good at quarterback. And again, with the Dan Marino thing, I'm a Dolphin guy, okay? I got a Dolphin cover on my phone. I got a Dolphin wallet. I got a Dolphin license plate, all right? I'm a Dolphin guy. I think Marino is the greatest quarterback to ever live. And one of my arguments about that is, name one person he ever handed the ball off to. He never had a running back. They never had a running game. You know, the Dolphins would have been the Cincinnati Bengals before the Bengals had that little flash where they were good. They'd been the Bengals. They would have been the Browns. I can say that if Damon Day was around here. They'd been that if they wasn't for Dan Marino, you know? So, again, yeah, he didn't win a ring, but you know how bad they'd been if they didn't have Dan Marino?
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Let's hit our Wednesday Cunningham Comedy Clip. We'll be giving away just shortly after the show today two tickets to tomorrow night's 7:30 comedy show at Cunningham's. We're going to play an audio cut, a comedy clip here in just a moment, and all you have to do is either text or call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line. That line is 646-0506, and for our Hastings folks, since we're different area codes, 308-646-0506. That would also apply to anyone else with a 402 area code.
Yeah.
All you have to do is call or text that with your name, phone number, and your answer, and we'll randomly draw out a winner. You can also get a hold of us on the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The comedy clip is also up on our Facebook page. Yep. Want to give you plenty of opportunities to listen to it.
Just comment on the Facebook page.
Yeah. So all you have to do, name, number, and who the winner is, or who the person, show, character, depending if it's a movie or TV, and you'll win two tickets to tomorrow's comedy night at Cunningham's, and this week's comedian is Bill Blank. Here is this week's comedy clip.
I possess the DNA of Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I guess, but look, he signed it.
Do you realize what this means? All I need is a healthy ovum and I can grow my own Leonard Nimoy.
One of the top shows in the country, and your chance to send it in. Get a hold of us on our Cunningham's Comedy Clip Contest line, 646-0506, or send us an email, and we will be back and catch up with Craig Howard, ESPN recruiting analyst, after this.
If you think Valentine's Day is just a card and a peck on the cheek, you're missing most of the fun. Midtown Mart on West 2nd Street in Hastings suggests white chocolate or strawberry cream liqueurs, strawberry margaritas, or just a perfect red wine. Midtown Mart on West 2nd in Hastings has some appropriate suggestions right on display. Midtown Mart, one convenient location so you don't have to do battle with grocery shoppers when you really want to search for good taste. Shop Midtown Mart on West 2nd, Hastings.
It's the most unique high school basketball event in the state. The Heartland Hoops Classic, February 14th, showcasing 12 schools, 6 games, beginning at 11 a.m. in the comfort of the Heartland Event Center. Your ticket is good for the entire day. See Amherst Ravenna, St. Cecilia BDS,
Omaha Scott Norfolk Catholic,
Aurora GICC,
Elkhorn South Columbus Scotus,
Oak Hill Academy Omaha South. Buy tickets at the Heartland Event Center box office or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
Carrier has a complete line of home heating products to keep your family comfortable this winter without burning your budget. With smart temperature management and remote access options, it's easier than ever to control your home's climate. And Carrier energy-efficient systems can help reduce utility bills without sacrificing comfort. For more complete comfort and greater peace of mind, turn to the experts at Carrier.
Contact Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney or Holdridge.
More exciting high school basketball comes your way this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. On ESPN 1460 and 1550, Thursday it's a girls' top three battle as Kearney Catholic takes on West Point Guardian Angels at 7, and Friday, Kearney High hosts Grand Island. On 1230 KHAS, the Centennial Conference semifinals, St. Cecilia plays the Concordia girls Thursday and Grand Island Central Catholic boys Friday. And on Classic, it's 98.9 Thursday, Wood River hosts Gibbon. More high school hoops this week.
Yeah. Shit.
Doug and Daddy's show. Congratulations, Tri-City Storm. They pound Lincoln last night 6-1 to win their seventh consecutive game.
Actually, went last night. They look good. This is as good of a hockey team that Tri-City's put out there and since they won the Anderson Cup. I mean, they look really good last night.
Let's just keep it up.
I'm knocking on wood here. Don't jinx it.
And they're still chasing down with their 2 points within first place now, and let's see if they can keep it going.
This weekend, they can actually either tie or pull into first place. And as hot as they're playing, who's going to say they're not going to do it?
They will welcome in Sioux Falls, 7:05 Saturday, to wrap up their four-game homestand. Matt Freitag, who was one of the three players that played in the USHL NHL Top Prospect game, had 2 goals in the first period last night. 13 different skaters registered a point. That means that on at least one of those, there was a double assist.
Yeah. You can get a couple assists very easily on there. That was quick math in your head. I'm kind of impressed.
If I understood hockey more, I would have problems with all the stats they have. But I'm one of these times I have to ask not even Coach Holton, but just Jared, the hockey guys, how he thinks hockey statistics compared to what we do in other sports. Because hockey is a little bit weird. No other sport do they have 3 stars at all levels that they talk about right after each and every game.
That's a traditional thing.
Yeah.
That's a traditional thing. Well, also, you think that's kind of hokey
at the pro level? Not necessarily in the USHL, but I mean at the pro level.
No.
Tonight,
the three stars.
The number one dunk. I don't know what you'd call it in the NBA. LeBron.
Well, if you get thumped at home, and they choose the 3 stars. Then the number one star is going to be from the other team, which does happen. But you have to tip your hat because this guy kind of – actually, the goaltender last night, I don't know who the 3 stars were last night because they snuck out, you know, just as they were kind of doing that. But, I had stuff to do. I wanted to go back and watch the second half of the Husker game. So, anyway, the goaltender for Lincoln played great. And I understand he gave up 6 goals, but he played great.
Well, they had 50 shots on goal.
Yeah. And
24 and 6.
And a lot of them were really good looks at the net.
The NHL's all-time leader in wins and shutouts is calling it a career. Martin Brodeur is formally announcing his retirement tomorrow. So that is a big hockey note. And
Always be a double in my mind.
Always neat to see Serena and Venus Williams. They haven't played a meaningful match against each other in years, and they won't in the Australian Open. Serena won, Venus lost to another 19-year-old American who kind of said Venus was her idol growing up. That's always good to hear, especially when you're the idol. Madison Keys wins it in three sets, so now she will play Serena, going for the Williams exacta, I guess you would say, as we get closer to horse racing season. Gerard Dyson has avoided arbitration with the Royals, a one-year contract for $1.2 million. Royals still have some work to do with Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Greg Holland, among others that are still looking towards arbitration. We talked earlier this week about football recruiting. Deshaun Neal, as we said yesterday, stays with Nebraska, and then not sure how big this is when they all they look at is the stars, is the two stars. Willie Sykes, a safety recruit, switches from Washington State to Nebraska. I'm sure that Chris Schmidt, the next time he catches up with Coach Leach on the Hail Varsity show, will probably have a connection. Washington State and Nebraska, you don't talk about those two football programs in the same breath.
Well, no, but there's that Pacific Northwest connection that we obviously have right now in terms of being able to do that. We're kind of talking about recruiting. One of those things I found recently that was really interesting, there was a writer out of New York that pointed out that in the Super Bowl, there are zero five-star recruits that are going to be starting in the Super Bowl. Zero, but there are 20 starters, and there's 44 overall with the two teams, 20 starters that were two-star or lower coming out of high school in terms of where they are. So recruiting, we love this. It's always very, very interesting, but let's face it, when you're taking a look at the Super Bowl, there's a lot of growth and a lot of development that takes place from high school to when you play on the biggest stage.
Craig Halbert, ESPN recruiting analyst, standing by. Before we welcome you in, we want to run down our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we said that FBS college football has changed from 11 to 12 games. Do you think playing a 12-game regular season schedule is good? 80% on the yes side of this. Here's an interesting one, Randy. Should Division I college football teams with a 6-6 overall record be allowed to play in a postseason bowl game? If there weren't so doggone many of them, I don't think you'd have this problem, but they've got to find them. So the NCAA said, okay, you at least have to be 6-6. If Notre Dame's 4-8, you can't just have Notre Dame coming in because they're Notre Dame.
Right.
What do you think? 6-6? Is that what it should be based on?
I will say this. If you have a winning record, that immediately would get you in a bowl game. And I tell you what, if you think that you have to have a winning record, you have to be 7-5 or better, then we're going to be losing some bowl games. There's no question about it, because there won't be enough teams out there to fill them up.
So vote now. Do you think 6-6 teams should be in postseason bowl games? Vote now on the Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, Randy, hard to believe 1 week from today, it's here already, National Letter of Intent Signing Day, and of course, we're excited in Nebraska, but it seems to be an even bigger deal around the country if you're in that top 10.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, you take a look at all the attention that Mississippi got this year in football, it kind of started with recruiting a couple years ago.
And ESPN, ESPNU, once again, going wall to wall. They've got a special show coming up on Tuesday night and then all day Wednesday, and ESPN recruiting analyst Craig Halbert joins is here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Craig, I know you're busy, but this is almost like the week before Christmas for you recruiting analysts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun time of year. This is what all the months and months of watching film and talking to prospects and going to camps, it all culminates to this point, not only for us, but for fans. Is obviously, this is the beginning of the future. A lot of people, you know, you can point to positives and negatives about recruiting, but I really think National Signing Day has kind of turned into a great celebration of high school and college football, and kind of like the draft of the NFL. It's a new beginning for everybody.
Craig, about 12 years ago, started kind of the television coverage on ESPN. What has kind of changed in the recruiting process since that occurred about 11 years ago?
Well, you know, social media has played such a big role. Obviously, the internet in itself really kind of revolutionized recruiting, making it easier for prospects to get recognized, to put film out there, and then you put into the mix. Obviously, it's grown, and college football, the NFL has really grown. I mean, America loves football, and I love football, and I love that America loves football, so they can't get enough of it, and I think that trickles down to high school football, and recruiting is obviously there's a kind of a thirst and kind of a hunger just to kind of know about who the future of the game is, and that has kind of spurred the interest in TV as well, and in social media and Twitter and Facebook and all those things. There's so many ways now that 20 years ago there wasn't, to learn about players, to know about players, to kind of get a feel for what your program is doing in every aspect of their operations and the future. So it just all the ways to kind of learn about prospects and the process has really kind of changed. And obviously, and now Q-Planes of things where we're able to put on a show that, you know, starts at 8 a.m. and goes well into the evening, just talking about recruiting.
ESPN recruiting analyst Craig Habert with us here. You know what also happened about 11 years ago? Matt Schick and I started this Doug and Daddy show, and now Matt's going to be with Craig on ESPNU talking about all this next week. So slap him upside the head, would you, Craig?
You got to tell me how you got him to move on so I can start to employ that as well.
He's a good cat. Hey, getting back to what's in front of us here, five of the top six guys on ESPN's top 300 have yet to make that formal announcement. Is that more because they want to do it on TV on National Letter of Intent signing day, or are they actually still deciding?
Yeah, I think some of them have made up their decision, but at this point, being so close to signing day, I think that's part of it. But ultimately, why we've gotten to this point is some of the indecision that has happened throughout the year. And three of those players amongst those top six that are uncommitted are out of the state of Florida, talking about the number one player in the country, Byron Cowart, the number one offensive tackle, Martez Ivey, and five-star defensive end, C.C. Jefferson. All those players have and still have strong interest in Florida. And I think had the season gone differently for the Gators and Will Muschamp was still the head coach, I very much believe that if not all three of those guys, at least two to three would be committed to Florida at this point. Byron Cowart, for example, had set up two announcement dates throughout the fall and both times backed away from him, leading us to now this point where he's going to announce on National Signing Day. But I think they were really kind of looking for a reason to commit to Florida, and it just never came with the rough season and coaching change. And obviously Jim McElwain there leading that, trying to close strong and get those guys back into the mix. But if you're looking at it now, you could kind of argue that momentum has shifted a little bit towards Auburn. So that'll be one of the interesting storylines to watch there on National Signing Day, because either Auburn or Florida could potentially really close big, and those three guys will be at the center of it.
Craig, you mentioned that the coaching change at Florida has had an impact on their recruiting. What impact has the coaching change at Nebraska had on Nebraska's recruiting?
You know, Florida's a little bit unique just because of obviously the state of Florida is so talent-rich, and those three guys were amongst the highest-rated prospects in the country, already had a strong interest in there. And even if Jim McElwain misses out this year on those guys, it's going to be kind of difficult for Florida fans to stomach just to be so close to some really good prospects. But it's difficult, you know, same thing goes with Coach Riley, to judge a coach off this limited amount of time. You take over a program, you're trying to assess what you have to hold on and then try to close. Really, it's this upcoming 2016 class where really you can get a better feel for how they're doing. But, you know, Jalen Barnett was a huge pickup out of the state of Oklahoma. I mean, you think about, you know, they may have a new coach, it may be a new era, but when you think about old school Nebraska offensive linemen, kind of big and nasty, I mean, Jalen Barnett, I think would make any of the most diehard Nebraska fans happy to have him on board. And they did lose a player to Michigan, Reuben Jones, but then they were also able to hold on to another defensive end who was looking at Michigan as well. And they were able to kind of keep him in the fold. So, you know, it's Deshaun Neal talking about out of Omaha, Nebraska. So they're doing a really nice job of just kind of taking this class across the finish line. It's going to probably finish in the top 30, but I think to be fair, you got to wait for the 2016 class before you truly begin to kind of judge what type of job Coach Riley has done on the recruiting trail.
But do you have a sense that it's been kind of even? It's kind of been a wash about what Coach Pelini has been able to bring in? Or do you think Riley's brought in a better caliber? Or is it just too early to say?
I think it's too early to say whether he's brought in, you know. I think what's going to be interesting to see is not so much in the recruiting. You know, obviously I spent some time in Nebraska, at Nebraska Omaha, and it's no doubt that people in that state love football. They love their Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's one of the most, you know, passionate fan bases anywhere in the country. The facilities are great. The stadium is amazing. There's a lot of positives for Nebraska to sell. The biggest struggle for Nebraska, obviously, is you don't have the talent pool there in state, and then you don't border states that also have as deep of a talent pool. I mean, you border Kansas and South Dakota and Iowa and Colorado, and, you know, successful recruiting starts at home. But, you know, and you could do as good of a job as you can in your state, but when you've only got a handful of maybe prospects that could really be strong contributors, to your roster, that means you've got to go fight a lot of battles in other people's backyards, and that's very difficult to do. And I think Bo Pelini did a solid job, and I think you look at the job that Mike Riley did at Oregon State in identifying talent and bringing guys there to that program and develop them. I would expect to see the same. I think really where you're going to see it potentially there's an uptick or a change is going to really come on the football field. Because Bo Pelini, when it came to wins and losses, I think did a really good job with Nebraska. I think he got as much from that program as you could expect. Where the frustration lied was when they got on a big stage, they didn't fare very well. When they had really opportunities to showcase that program, things didn't go well. You could even argue they went bad with really some blowout losses. If Mike Riley can get in there and get Nebraska back on those stages and change those outcomes, maybe not all the time, but some of the times now maybe you start to get some other type of bigger prospects from different parts of the country, maybe a little bit more interested in your program, and most importantly, convincing them to come on campus, because it's very difficult for players from Florida or from California or from the East Coast just to casually take an unofficial visit to Nebraska just by location. So you got to really get all your ducks in a row to convince those guys to, hey, come check out this program, come take an official visit, and that's what's key for Nebraska, because I certainly think that once they get guys on campus, they have all the tools to be able to sell top prospects.
Last minute here on the Doug and Danny Show on ESPN Radio with ESPN recruiting analyst Craig Hobert. Of course, the majority of the Big Ten top recruiting schools, according with the national championship, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, they're all in the Eastern Division, and Wisconsin on the ESPN rankings is just three notches ahead of Nebraska. So just a two-part question kind of wrap up here, Craig. Does the national championship really help Ohio State this year, or is it more for next year? And then following up on that, who's Nebraska going up against when it talks Big Ten West recruiting?
Well, you know, for Ohio State, listen, Ohio State's unique because it's one of those programs that is one of the few kind of stalwarts of college football. It's such a rich tradition that they're always going to have, and they're always going to be able to draw interest from prospects around the nation. You know, now you put into the mix a national championship, it only adds fuel to the fire for them. So they're already in a position to potentially sign a top five class. But really, it's going to help more next year. I think anytime you look at a national championship, you're really more talking about the future, about the next class, because at this point, there's an opportunity to close, but most of the hay is in the barn for them. Now, as far as who their biggest, you know, struggles are going to be, obviously, I Jim Harbaugh, I know you mentioned the West, but obviously that's the most intriguing thing to watch is how that old rivalry plays out with Harbaugh at Michigan. You know, I think with Wisconsin and Nebraska, even Iowa, they kind of got their formulas and they got to stick to it. I think if you looked at Wisconsin's class, it's not very flashy. You're not going to see really any ESPN 300 prospects, you know, in it. But why the reason why it's ranked very well is it's outstanding depth, a lot of four-star, high three-star players that really kind of fit what they do. And there's more than kind of – there's no one road to travel to recruiting success. And for everybody, it's different. When you're an Ohio State program and you've got a huge budget and you've got years of history to sell, you can go after some of those top flight guys. When you're Wisconsin, maybe you don't have that type of in-state base and maybe that same type of tradition, they go out and they find those big linemen and they go out and they've been able to draw great interest off of their recent history from top running backs as well as tight ends and find their formula. But as far as their biggest challenge in the West, I think Ohio State really, especially coming off the national championship right now, is clearly leading that pack.
1 week from today, they put their name on the dotted line. ESPN and ESPNU's National Signing Day preview is next Tuesday, 3 o'clock Central Time. And, of course, wall-to-wall coverage for the 11th consecutive year coming up on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Tom Luganbill will join us to answer some more of our questions. But Craig Hobert, ESPN recruiting analyst with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Craig, thanks for giving us some time. I know it's a busy time, but I know it's a fun time, so enjoy it.
Absolutely. Always great to be on Nebraska, and I appreciate it, guys.
Craig Hobert joining us here, ESPN recruiting analyst on the Doug and Daddy Show, and getting some thoughts. It's usually, I think the point there, Ohio State, Nebraska, sometimes it takes a year to kind of realize where they're at, because both of those We're far along in the process when you have that coaching change or even when you're winning national championships.
Yeah, it's a little bit different animal. Obviously, Nebraska's kind of got a hit in the reset button in terms of what we're doing. And I wanted to kind of pin him down. Are we getting better athletes than what we got when Bo Pelini was doing it? Here's my, just as an I don't follow it that close, just as my casual observations of this. It seemed to me in the last few years, when we lost somebody or we were recruiting against somebody, we were recruiting against maybe Eastern Illinois or some of those other directional schools, Iowa State, that sort of thing. Now, when we're competing and if we lose somebody, we're losing them to Michigan. We're losing them to Miami. To me, that's an upgrade. Whether you get them or not, at least I think we're getting at least what is perceived to be we're in the conversation with some better programs, and we're losing to some programs where you go, oh, I can see why they decided to do that instead of going to, you know, Eastern Illinois or Southern Illinois.
Well, you can discuss it more while you're enjoying your favorite lunch at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. What are the reasons? Their outstanding flame-broiled buffalo wings, cooked over an open flame, sear on one of their many sauces, so many to choose from, try something different every time, and then figure out which one your exact favorite is. They've got burgers, home-style pizzas, quesadillas, salads, and many other items, including a kid's menu. It's the Kearney Chicken Coop. Stop in and watch your favorite sporting events. Enjoy their afternoon happy hour. Ooh. Or you can just have a good old meal and an icy cold beverage at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. We'll be back and wrap up the show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXP in Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Dear Mike, sorry our relationship ended. I enjoyed our stops at Foot Convenience Plaza for beer, wine, snacks, and soda. Their delicious pizza, made fresh each day, was our favorite pizza in town. Foot's will always remind me of you. Well, I'm running out of lipstick and space on your windshield. P.S. They have washer fluid at Foot's.
Foot's Convenience Plaza, the first stop coming into town and your last stop out. East Highway 30, Kearney.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bush Cutter wrapping up a Wednesday. A lot of high school basketball last night. But Randy, one of the things you don't always necessarily get to see, and I say this, there's always something different, it seems like, at a ball game that you cover, no matter what the sport is. Doesn't matter if you're 15-0 or 1-14. And last night covered a game where Centura played St. Paul, and Centura coaches Dave Ullman, one of the winningest coaches in the history of boys basketball in the state, been doing it for well over 40 years. And he's got a fairly young team. He's got a couple, three seniors he plays, but a ton of sophomores. A minute into the game, he's calling timeout. He's making a sub. He sees what St. Paul's doing. He switches in, and he brings in this sophomore, Jackson Noakes. First quarter, not a whole lot. Second quarter, pops a couple of threes. Centura's behind at halftime by three. They're down 11 going into the fourth quarter. Something I don't think I've ever seen in all the years covering high school basketball. Young Jackson Noakes, 5'5 sophomore, hits five consecutive three-point buckets. Centura scores 30 in the fourth quarter. Wow. St. Paul fans are beating their heads against the wall. It was a highly contested. It's a rivalry game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a rivalry game. You know who you are. Pleasanton, Amherst, Kearney Catholic, Ravenna, Kearney High, Grand Island. You know.
Yeah, geography
you
usually.
You know
yeah.
who
yeah.
your rival yeah. is. That's the rivalry game. And Centura comes back and wins at 66-62. Two teams that don't score a lot. I saw 20 made three-pointers last night, but he scores 17 in the fourth quarter. And I don't mean it was necessarily five consecutive trips down the floor because one of his teammates hit one in between.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over! There, but they made seven threes as a team in the fourth, but on five consecutive shots that this sophomore shot, he hit five consecutive three-pointers.
And to have that come from a sophomore, holy cow. And a 5'5 sophomore, yeah. You know? I mean, you just, wow.
Still kind of getting it up there from the chest area, you
right.
know, not above the head all the time, but it was something to watch. Just a kid making five layups anymore sometimes can be a test. And he makes five three-pointers, so congratulations there. Now both teams needing a win going into conference tournament. Centura got it last night. So it's a Wednesday off. What are you going to do?
I have a dog I need to walk. And
I think I'm going to go sunbathe. We want to thank all the folks for joining us on the program today. Loper wrestling coach Mark Bauer, Hastings College men's basketball coach Bill Gavers, ESPN recruiting analyst joining us on the show today, and Craig Hobart. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Tom Luganbill, national ESPN recruiting analyst, number one on the board. Tom will join us, and we will chat with the offensive line coach of the world champion Seattle Seahawks, Pat Rhule, will be with us tomorrow. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Friday, Jay Rude from Vegas and the MGM. Randy, have a good Wednesday.
All right, enjoy your day.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.